welcome to the Goddess Geek podcast. I'm your host, Adam Cook, and it's a very special, intimate podcast this week, because it's just me. Only joking, Adam Carroll's here. Hi, Ad, you all right?
I am good, my friend. How are you?
I'm all right. I was toying with, I think, the first two times I tried to get away with the Addams Family as a podcast episode title. Have we done three on our own?
See,
or four?
This is the thing.
I don't know.
Like, we've definitely done the sequel.
Definitely,
and I don't know if we've done a third, but we can go with it and just think and make it a trilogy. And if we feel like we could do a quad trilogy down the line,
oh wow, the quad trilogy, like the Alien films were once. But what you'll notice about this podcast, right, is look, there's no chatter about weird foods and stuff because listen, we've worked it out. It's not Adam or me. The Adams are fine. The Adams are all right.
We're grand.
It's the other guys. It's the other guys. They bring it out of you, don't they?
Always. Always. Uh-huh. Like, I just feel like I have to do this and talk about it when the other guys are here. Because, like, not everyone sees how it is behind the curtains here. And, you know, it always...
The pressure.
It's always made out that I'm the strange one eating the strange food. But, you know... Maybe,
well...
Let's just think about it a small bit.
Yeah. I mean...
Adam, let's just think about it a small bit.
I was with you until he said that. I was with you until he said that, and I started thinking about Pringles, who, as I said on Twitter, should be sponsoring us, because I thought about this, right? If you haven't listened to the Pringles episode, we're not going to spoil what you did, but you should go back and listen to it, because it's a highlight of... it's a highlight. Like I was thinking, Pringles should sort of sponsor the podcast, because they should say, they're so good, you want to regurgitate them to eat them a second time. That's how good they are. I mean, I've given away what you did.
Listen.
Adam, you have been playing games, right? We're gonna just talk, listen. It's just us,
mm-hmm.
So we can talk about what we want to, which is video games, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, you have played something.
I've been playing 42 games.
You have, and I have been resisting because I'm gonna let you in on a secret. As much as I love Nintendo and I enjoy Nintendo games, and I always have actually from the. I had a NES, definitely. That was, I think, one of my first consoles. I had Commodore 64 and all that before, but I had a NES. Then I made the, let's say, insane decision to go from NES to Mega Drive rather than SNES, which in hindsight is just nuts because the SNES's library is ridiculous. But the Mega Drive, or to some of our listeners, the Genesis... I had the Japanese import one, which was like a sort of maroonish, reddish colour on the front of the black box.
Yeah, yeah.
You are playing, I'm guessing your version is called the Sega Mega Drive Mini.
That's this. That's the one.
42 games. 40 showing the other lads how it's done.
42 games. Exactly. Exactly. Like, that's a serious amount of games there, especially for... No, I'm going to have to clarify first that, like... When it comes to the Mega Drive, I've had my time with it, back in the day and stuff, but I've always been Nintendo, as many of you probably would guess at this stage. But, first, where does the Mega Drive stand for you? Like, do you have the nostalgic games there, like, do you know?
Yeah, man.
Like, other than Sonic, known things, obviously.
Well, I was going to say, they're going to be the cliches, because they're going to be Sonic 2, my favourite Sonic game. They're going to be Streets of Rage 2, which is just... I mean, one of the all-timers for me. Do you know I'm going to go a bit of a different route there, and I'm going to say at one point, the Cool Spot game. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a big deal in our town. Like, I think I got that from an import store. I had to get some weird cartridge that the cartridge went onto to be allow me to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I played Virtual Racing. You know, I can't... I've got a bad memory anyway, but those are the ones that stand out to me. I mean, Echo the Dolphin, I know is beloved... I never really... I don't quite get why that game's so...
Well, listen. This thing, obviously, look, I've been playing the Mega Drive Mini, and it's been really well received. People out there, they're loving it. I have been going through the games, and something like Echo the Dolphin, which, as you said, is pretty loved by fans, I only remember that game as a game where... I hadn't a clue what I was supposed to do. Like, I just remember swimming along and jumping up out of the water and going back down. And then it's only now recently with the Mega Drive Mini coming out that there's a lot of videos of showing off the games that are there and stuff. Like, Echo just seems like so hard and so vague.
Is it a long game?
I just don't know, man. it's I think it's only like, well, actually, do you know what? Let me check that there.
Because I always feel like I've started it like 100 times, but every time it just seems like, oh, this is going to be a significant time investment, so I just don't carry on.
Yeah, like, and this is the thing, like, you got 4.5 hours, it's saying here, on Hollow Knight for main story, and main and extras is 5.5, which is quite meaty for a game like this, because it was only last night, as a recording right now, I finished World of Illusion. Which is
there's another good one.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Never played it before.
Is that on the Mega Drive Mini?
Yeah.
Wow, because I just figured licensing wise that would be a nightmare.
So this
Castle of Illusion.
Castle of Illusion is there, and World of Illusion.
Oh wow.
Yeah, which is like pretty big games to have on this, and it's kind of maybe why a lot of fans would be inclined to buy this, because I only remember there, like, recently, well, it came out, I think, last year or something, but the Sega Mega Drive collection came out for the Switch.
Oh, yeah, it came out for everything, yeah.
It came out for everything, and I know there was previous ones on PS3 and Xbox 360 and stuff, but this one came out for, like, the Switch and stuff, and in my head I'm kind of going, okay, why would I get the Mini over that, because that little collection has, like, 50 games or something.
Yeah, loads of them, yeah.
But when you actually go through the list, there's quite a few you're missing, such as Castle of Illusion, World of Illusion, Artworm Jim is on the Mega Drive Mini, but not on the other one. So these are the kind of ones that I remember playing. So last night I ended up playing World of Illusion, and I did a co-op, and like that game only takes like 1.5 hours to beat. It's very easy, to be honest. But there's something insanely charming about going back and attempting to, like, finish these types of games again.
Yeah.
I know, no, like, and this isn't what the Mega Drive has done. Like, obviously, the SNES Mini has done it, the NES Mini has done it. It's just some, like, do you know, I think a lot of people, well, I could be totally wrong in this, but I feel people will buy it, go, this is incredible, I love this, look at all these games, put it on.
Yeah.
Play.
So the same as all the other mini consoles, basically.
Yeah, which isn't... It isn't really a bad thing at all. It's just like, I have this now, and there it is, and I have all these games, and I'll play it sometime, and you kind of never do, and it just sits aside. But when you kind of just go for it and go, I'm going to play this game from start to finish, it's really enjoyable, because when we finished World of Illusion last night, I was kind of like, that was a lot of fun. That was just charming, it was enjoyable. And in the collection as well, you got, like, say, Alex Kidd, which a lot of people are familiar with, Comic Zone, which has kind of been on, like, nearly everything that the Mega Drive has released in its collections, but it's still such a cool game. And I actually think if Comic Zone was something that was released today, it would go down really well in its style. You got the likes of... See, the ones that really stood out for me were the likes of Phantasy Star 4 is there. You got Monster Hunter. You got, like, Toe Jam and Earl, obviously. And then there's, like, Street Fighter 2.
But Toe Jam and Earl has aged. Fan of the first two games. But, like, the new one I played... That was this year, by the way. Toe Jam and Earl, the new one, was this year.
Yeah.
And I played it, and I'm like, it's all right, it's that again. But, like, we've moved on. Games are different now. Like, they're just different.
Yeah,
I'd want it because of the nostalgia, but I know, because I've got the SNES and the PlayStation 1, I know I wouldn't play them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what stopped me, is that I don't have, what is it, 60, 70 quid to blast on a nostalgic item I know I won't play.
I know.
That's realism for me for a change, but, like,
yeah,
trust me, the allure is real, because that was kind of, I loved that. I loved my Mega Drive. I loved it.
And I think that's one of the things that people are like saying is so amazing about this actual mini version, is because it is so super nostalgic in its even like menu and stuff, like the music that plays, and the fact you can change the language to, like, if you change the language to like Japanese, it changes all the artwork of the games and stuff as well.
Yeah.
You can A to Z them, you can put them in like spine and stuff like that. It's kind of these little cool features that are within it. But
yeah,
really, all I'll say though is, and this is just me speaking, it's like, with all the praise these things can get and how great they all are, and it's great to kind of go back and experience the nostalgia of it all, I get kind of annoyed that there just isn't fucking, like, 40 more games on it.
Yeah, without modding it, obviously.
Without modding it. And, like, when you see something like the other previous releases that have come out for Sega and stuff, and you kind of go, well, okay, here's this mini version of the console. It's, like, a very good price, to be honest, I think, at, like, $70 or something. I think that's, like, I think it's really good, like, with the two controllers and stuff. But when I look at it, I see the likes of, like, Streets of Rage 2 is there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you get the other collection for, like, the Switch or something, you get, like, Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3. And
that's right.
You know, you'll get Sonic 3. And
Sega have also got this thing they do on mobile. I think it's called Sega Ages, I think, where they're just releasing, like, a new game for that service on mobile regularly. Like,
yeah.
They just keep putting out sort of new game, well, old games, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and, like, the thing about it is, when you get something like Golden Axe, right, which, like,
there's a game. Yeah, there's a game for you.
Like, Golden Axe is superb, but it's almost like, in ways, Mario, like the very first Super Mario Brothers. It's just like, we've all played it. It's been on everything. You can play it nearly anywhere at this stage. And when the console like this comes out, why don't you just put Golden Axe 1, 2, and 3? Like, throw them all in there. Like, I don't see why it can't be.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Do you know? And it's a few things like that that just... And even if that's to hike up the price again to make it an even $100, I'd still buy it if all these sequels were on it, because you're even missing the Toe Jam and Earl sequel.
I don't know, man. Like, $100 there is pushing it for a mini console, don't you think?
I don't know, man. Like, if you're getting two controllers with it and you get a lash of co-op games on it, the kind of sitting on the couch co-op feeling when you have a friend over or something for Christmas with the kids and all this jazz, it will benefit. It would benefit. Mm-hmm. Rather than putting, like, I don't know, there's some games on it that would be... Like, I hear the Tetris game that's on this is supposed to be shit.
Right. I can't remember Tetris even being on Mega Drive, so...
And that's the thing that surprised me as well, is I didn't know the likes of Contra, which, when I played it, was Pro Protector, because that's what it's named in Europe. So Pro Protector here, I remember playing that on the NES, and I did not know that it got onto the Mega Drive. Same as Street Fighter 2. I never knew that that made it to the Mega Drive.
I mean, I played that on SNES, but yeah, I'm with you.
Do you know, like, I was like,
I think it came later. I want to say it came later, because I don't remember it being on Mega Drive when the SNES one was out.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a weird one. It's kind of, for me, the experience of this little console was, it's definitely worth the money. It offers some cool nostalgia. It offers some, like, interesting games, like those World and Castle of Illusion kind of games. Mm. And there's a couple of, like, these JRPG ones in there too that I've never had the chance to play. So realistically, it seems to be a solid console all around. And if people are kind of going, it's the best mini version ever, like, mini console ever.
It probably is.
It
just
probably is.
Saying that, it hasn't got Mario World on it. It hasn't got Mario Kart on it.
Well, see, that's the thing. But I think the reason being is it just holds, once again, so much nostalgia. But I think it just has the most games.
Yep, that's fair.
And that's, I think, really where it's coming out. Because I think, is it the SNES only has, like, 21 games?
I'm not sure.
Something along that line.
PlayStation hasn't got many.
Yeah, so it's a good console. It's fun. It all runs well. And, like, you know, like, as I said, there's Sonic 1, 2. Is Sonic 3 on it? No, so there's Sonic 1, Sonic that 1, seems... 2. And then there's that fucking Sonic game that's like a Sonic Spinball.
It's got Sonic Spinball on it, yeah. So it's pretty good. So I like Sonic Spinball, man. I'm sorry.
It's weird. It's weird because I feel like the camera just isn't fast enough to keep up with you.
Hasn't it got, like, a single digit frame rate, that game? Like, I don't remember it running well even as a kid.
Yeah, it runs kind of strange, in especially in, like, the movement of Sonic. Sonic is way, like, because at the start of each level you run out onto the board, you jump in, and then you off you go. It's pinball. But Sonic feels heavier and he kind of looks a bit fatter. It's kind of strange.
Yes.
But it's still there. Like, you know, for Sonic fans, it's cool. That stuff is cool. But the likes of Sonic the Hedgehog, for example, I can't really see anybody ever turning that on unless you have a kid.
Who's going to play through that again? Yeah, but they're not going to want to play that, man. Well, they're not.
If I had a kid and I was like, here's this Mega Drive Mini and there's the Sonic games, and they went, oh, let's play Sonic, I'd be like, okay, let's play Sonic the Hedgehog 2 because it's co-op.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But they just couldn't. You can't release this kind of a thing without putting Sonic.
No, that's fair.
And that's just how these things work. But overall, man, it's a very enjoyable little thing. And, you know, I kind of think the more these kind of things come out, I think it'll be really enjoyable, like, to have on your shelves even, like, you know, like, to just pull that down and just plug it in, because it's very easy to access. It's very easy to kind of set up. And for the price that it is, I'm happy with it. I would recommend it.
So, speaking of recommendations then, a game that I cannot recommend highly enough that I am addicted to is Indivisible.
I cannot wait to play this.
I think I was about like 5 or 6 hours in last week, and now I'm 13 or 14. Man, this game just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting better for me.
So before we go out, last week we briefly discussed this.
Yes, we tried to. Yeah.
We tried to. Can you clarify it any more in terms of its gameplay now, with the hours you've put in? Are you able to explain?
It's still the same game we described, but what I've discussed, one of the things is, right, it's one of these RPGs where you get quite a big party. You can only ever have four on the screen to fight with, but you kind of consistently getting new characters. Like, I think I must have 9 or 10 now total. And there's definitely slots left. I haven't even unlocked everyone. And it's weird, right? Because there's a point where you think, oh, man, another new character? Really? Like, I've got enough now. And then they do something just interesting enough that an hour later, you find another character and you're annoyed because you have to take the other party back out your party because they've become, like, one of your mains.
Yeah.
So they are all... And, like, even 14 hours in, I was getting a new character. And again, I was like, this is... I don't need any more. This is just stupid. Like, there's too many. And then she's become one of my mains because she does something defensively that nobody else does. So, for example, you know, you'll come up against enemies that are... I think we mentioned you have to, like, break their guard. And with Ajna, she's the best one to do that. You press... You attack up. You do her up attack, which is an overhead axe attack. And then you press down on her attack, which is a kind of... sweep with her axe, that combo breaks someone's shield so that everyone else can nail them as well. Now, there is another character, I can't remember her name, begins with a Q. She's like a shield character. She fights with her shield. She can also do the up and down combo to break them. But say you don't have her in the party, then you are relying on your always ever-present Ajna, the main character, to be the only one who can break these other characters. But beyond that, there are characters that, like, if you hit them with magic attacks, like fire, it heals them. So you can get yourself in situations where you've got all these magical characters, and even, like, Ajna's special, like a level 3 tier special, is a magical attack, and you're just healing them. So the difficulty is dependent on you learning, because you can see the enemies, but mostly before you have to fight them. It's one of those games where you can see them, and you can actually, kind of like in Dragon Quest, you can go up to them and hit them to get, like, an early hit in. But, like, it just opens up insanely, like, where there's like a boat. It kind of Final Fantasy, like a boat where you can travel from to 3 different places currently.
Wow, it kind of goes that deep.
It goes that big, yeah.
Wow.
But, like I say, this character I got, she's a pirate. She's the one where the boat comes from. And she's one of these, and there's a few like this, where you've got a skill you can use. So even though you've got 3 attack points, so you can do 3 attacks when you're fully ready to go, some of them have got, like, a move that doesn't actually damage them. It's sort of like hers. It's like she steals like coin off of them. But doing that ups your attack for when you finally do an actual physical attack. So with her, Dar, who's one of the is the first character you meet. He can do his down attack is that. So he, like, charges up to give you, like, 3 attacks that are charged. And hers, like, she goes from doing no damage, like just steals coins 3 times, to that when you press her down an attack, she does this kind of shoulder charge, which does like 1,000 damage, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, she's actually really useful. And then I got another character, and he's really useful because his down attack attacks all enemies within the sort of area. So again, I'm like, okay, I think I will keep playing him because he's really useful. And then I got a character that completely blew my mind because her attacks, she's water-based. So whenever she attacks, she leaves little puddles lying around. And then if you do a down, or is it down or up? I forget which, but it's a down or up attack. It sort of activates those puddles so that if you run across them on your attack, you heal. Whereas if they run across them, it damages them. And then on top of that, I found another character who's got like this cool defensive move. So she can run out. She's like plant-based. So she can plant a seed in front of an enemy. And then when they run to attack you, they get hit by the seed because it grows out and it stops their attack. So you can, with her in the party, use her three, if you get her ready to do three attacks, plant a plant in front of each of, say, the three enemies on screen, meaning you know they can't even hit you on their next turn.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just every time you get a new character, it's just it breaks the boundaries of what you think is possible. And you've got this parry system where every enemy, so say a simple enemy comes and he's got one of the soldiers is like of the military guys has got like a kick, and it's quite easy to time. You just press if you're Dar and you're on my up level, so you've got like a two characters in the middle, one up, one down. So it's like it literally corresponds to the PlayStation controller. Imagine the square, triangle, cross and circle buttons. That's what the formation of your party is, okay? And each of the buttons, square, triangle, cross and circle, corresponds to their location in that party formation. So if you're a soldier and you're attacking me, and you're hitting where the triangle button would be, you press triangle to time that parry. But some of them do like six attacks at once, and you have to time that parry. Like, bam, 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 bam. And when you do that, you build up your sort of special meter, and each of the characters has got specials, and some of them are like heals. Like, so the fire woman you meet quite early on, I've forgotten the name of, begins with R, I forget the name. There's a lot of characters, but her level one tier special, it heals the party. Her level three is just this almighty fire attack. So there's just so much experimentation. And there's a guy who carries a bird who I thought was a bit useless, but then their down attack literally is like a swoop and it does massive damage. So you can queue up these attacks, and I tell you what, man, it's in my top 10, and the longer I play it, it's creeping up and up and up into that top 10.
It sounds like it's constantly staying fresh for you, considering, like, is this, as you said, another character, but like, it's like, how many characters do you have at the moment?
I think about 10. I think I've got 9 or 10, and there's definitely at least
one slot
left. And
like, do you find yourself using them all?
Yeah, because although they seem to slightly level up as you don't play them, they don't fully level up. So you want to keep them in your party because they've all got individual skills.
Okay.
So like, there's a guy who can heal. And as he's leveled up, his attacks actually come pretty good. But his heal, he can heal at like 4,600 health. And some of my characters have only got that. So like, that's super useful in boss battles. And this is just the battle system I'm talking about, right? This is just the battle system. Take that out of your mind for a minute. And there's a Metroidvania going on here.
Yeah.
So you go to an area and you're taught a skill. Like the first one you get is, it's the axe one, where you jump and hit the attack button and you put an axe in the wall to give you a second sort of push up to get you a bit higher. But then there's ledges that even that can't reach. And then later on you get a skill where you get a spear and you can use the spear to kind of pole vault up into the air to get you even higher. And then I'm not going to spoil any more than that, but then there's more skills and more skills. It just keeps giving you new abilities.
Okay.
So you want to go back to other areas because you know there are hidden items that you couldn't reach but you now can. And on top of that, the writing's, it's kind of whip smart, man. Like there's some funny, clever writing. Like there's these weird sort of twins that kind of try and finish each other's sentences, and you say about, I'm going to kick your, you know, you've got to let me through, I'm going to kick your ass, and then they basically say, no, you can, you know, if you want to fight, we'll fight later in the arena. And then one of your friends, like say, who's in your head, comes out, and these two women, Ashna's a female, and the fire woman, I've forgotten the name of, she comes out and basically says, what is it with guys? Why do they always want to fight later? Why can't we just have the fight now? And it's kind of like poking fun at that JRPG thing of, oh, I've met you, but we're going to fight later. She's right. Why don't we just fight now? And then like 20 minutes down the line, you fight them and beat them, obviously, because it's a boss battle. And there's a lot of that kind of writing that's constantly kind of witty and poking fun at the genre, but never in a way of like, Yeah, but because I remember once like complaining about The Witcher, there's that quest with the goat where you have to get the goat and ring the bell to get him to follow you. And I remember in the review I mentioned that, saying how they've poked fun at it, but they've still actually made you do it. So it doesn't work for me, that particular quest, because as I say, you're making fun of all these games that do it, but then you are making me do it. But whereas in this game, because it's just a side-scrolling 2D, a side-scrolling sort of almost beat 'em up come JRPG, you sort of forget about that conversation and then they crop up naturally anyway. It genuinely is. Like I say, I played the prototype 4 years ago and I never in my wildest dreams imagined it. I can't stop playing it. It's so good, man.
I'm very excited to get on that.
Easily one of the best games I've played this year.
Excellent.
We obviously, because it's just the two of us, I've got a couple of news bits down there I want to talk about. I do want to just quickly mention John Wick Hex, the game.
Are you not as excited as the movies? Have you seen the movies?
No, I haven't, right? So I'm going to... Everything I say now needs to be prefaced and qualified, I suppose, by the fact I haven't seen the movies. They are very much atop the list of I need to get round to these at some point. But I know the gist. Do you know what I mean? I know the kind of balls to the wall action.
Yeah.
I know the dog stuff. You know, I know it's become pop culture, hasn't it, by now? You know.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've not seen them. I know a bit about them. I'm not going to go on about this game because Gary will be here probably next week and he will talk about this and Grid. But I certainly don't like it as much as Gary does. So I would suggest, if you want reference for what I'm talking about, go and have a look at our video review on youtube.com/godisageek. So the way I understand John Wick, and you've seen the films, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, at least one of them. I mean, you know, you know more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Is he kind of like an action hero, but obviously not like. I suppose, is it modern sort of John McClane? Kind of doesn't want to be one of those, but he's kind of got in that situation. But it's also he's revenge for.
It's more just revenge, like especially when in the first movie, anyway.
And he's well trained, but he's retired, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, in this game, it is like. Do you know how in Superhot you do all this stuff and then you watch the replay and it shows you it in full motion and you're like, oh, I was badass there.
Yeah, it's unreal.
But this kind of has the opposite effect to me. So this is like a strategy game where there's meters that you control what you can do and you can, you know, limited ammo and cover systems and all that kind of thing. And then it shows the replay. And to me, the replays just make it look really janky and rough. Like it makes it look... Like it is a replay of what you've done, but it doesn't make you look cool like John Wick would look cool.
Yeah.
And I also just found it incredibly complex and just not what I was looking for. And not what I was expecting from that kind of game. I think it's cool that a game's been made about John Wick and it isn't a first person or third person shooter. I think it's cool that this kind of it's a different, it's certainly not the, if someone said, oh, they're making a John Wick game, you would think probably Gears of War style third person or DMC or
I think I was saying it last week, but I kind of, when I initially saw screenshots of this, I felt like we were going to get a Hotline Miami kind of John Wick game.
Absolutely, that would be, again, yeah, absolutely.
But I just think now seeing the game and what it is, it's definitely not as fast and it's definitely more tactical.
But I like some of the stuff in it, like, so I find that enemies just keep appearing out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I feel like you walk around a corner into darkness and then there's an enemy there. And it's like, that doesn't seem fair because I don't think there's any way of scouting. And then their timer lets them shoot you and they kind of shoot you, but their gun is almost in your shoulder shooting you. And then you shoot them back and kill them. But like, is John Wick get shot a lot and not get hurt? I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Not particularly, no. John Wick is just a straight up, like, just a badass and that's it. Like, you know, and... It's just great action, and I think the whole Keanu Reeves thing really steps it up even further again. Because, like, in terms of a story, like it's very straightforward. Like, that's all I'll say. But like, I don't know really what I wanted when they said they were going to announce a John Wick game.
I mean, I'm in the minority, I should say. It seems to have reviewed very well. And it's not like I hate it, but it's just not for me. Like, I like strategy games. This one isn't for me. Like, it doesn't.
See, you just nailed it there now for me. And that is using the word strategy. Like, That's not what I want. That's not an element that I want within the game. So, like,
I'm saying is I like that. Like, Indivisible is heavily strategy-based because you have to have the right characters, you have to get the moveset right to get the... You know, there's a chain. You know, chain moves together to keep... You can keep them in... You can air juggle in Indivisible if you have the right characters. This, to me... Again, people also saying how great it looks. Not for me. I don't... It just didn't...
No?
It's just one of those games where it just did nothing for me.
Yeah,
and that's fine. That's fine because other people seem to be really enjoying it. But personally speaking, I played it and was just it didn't work for me, man. Like,
I think going for the strategy thing that they're doing. If that appeals to someone like yourself and stuff, then that's great.
Well, I think that's cool. It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I think when after watching the movies personally, I just want. Off the wall. Like, I don't want anything to fucking try and change the game in games. I just want another, like, Enter the Matrix feel, Stranglehold kind of thing. I just want bullets and just diving everywhere, Max Payne kind of style. And
but, like, you know, do you remember, because it's Bithel Games, obviously, you know, like, it was Volume, wasn't it? The one after. So Volume, you had direct control, didn't you? Like, you moved with the left stick, I think?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was also kind of strategy based and time based in that you had to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of that taken to the one extreme, if you will, like of it being literally hex based and, it just isn't. I'm not saying it's bad. I think there's merit to it, and I think it's cool they've gone for this idea, which is totally against what you'd expect, which is also that's cool. But just in a very crowded window for me, it just didn't ignite my fire, man.
I also just, like, I wonder, and this shouldn't be the case, obviously, but I just wonder if the fact you have not seen the movies kind of...
Yeah, absolutely, as well. That's why I said that's important. Yep,
because I do feel when you see the movies, you're just like, John Wick is just unreal. Like, and I think that's just how it is. That's how his character is perceived by everyone, like John Wick movies. It's like, you haven't seen John Wick? How have you not seen John Wick? That's how it is, you know? Mm. And I think... You going into this, you're like, I'm just moving Keanu Reeves around in this strategic kind of manner, and
yeah. But even then, I'm expecting excitement, and it just didn't give me that, man.
Shame.
Before we get into listener correspondence this week, I just want to mention, it's a bit of a shorter pod this week. It's just the two of us, but there's a couple of news stories broke last week that I think they're worth talking about. One's, I don't think we're gonna have much to say because I think we're probably both going to agree. But Doom Eternal. We spoke about crowded windows. Doom Eternal has got out of the crowded window and moved into another one because Doom Eternal now is coming on March 20th, which is the same day as Animal Crossing.
totally different. I actually, I just laughed when I saw that day. Those two games coming out the same day.
Two games, right, that are totally different, but are both on my highest, most wanted lists. Mm,
yeah.
So, but basically, they've said, what you'd expect. They just want it to be the best game and they need more time for that. That's 6 months, really, isn't it? Well, it's not 6 months. It's sort of 3.5-4 months, but it's announcing it 6 months in advance. I am personally happy to wait until it's ready. Don't get me wrong, I want that game bad, but I am absolutely happy that they're making another one of those Doom games.
Yep.
All the time you need. All the time you need. And what's the Nintendo saying? Is it Miyamoto that said, you know, a bad game's bad forever? A delayed game can be, you know, made better sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's not the quote, but it's like that.
I think, like, even the response to this has been positive all around. I think everyone's like, yeah, cool, nice one. And I just like seeing that because I just feel, look, we have enough to fucking play. It's all grind. Doom Eternal will come out. It'll probably be banging. And that's the way it is.
I would expect so,
the first one's on the read. But on top of this as well, it's kind of cool. They ended up saying they're going to release Doom 64 as well.
Yeah.
Which is...
You know, you've got... not history, but have you got like fondness for that?
I wouldn't say it's like my other favorite Doom would be 3, and then like 64. Yeah, 64.
Controversial.
I know, but I loved the horror side of it. I loved how dark it was. But 64, yeah, I've played a bit of it. But I just like those kind of announcements always. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Same day as well.
Right. The only thing I wasn't overly sort of happy with is that they announced it as a pre-order bonus. I kind of thought that was going to be as an apology, have the game. Because you still got to pre-order to get it, which is...
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to give stuff away for free, but I don't know.
It's an interesting one, that thing you said, though, as an apology. Because I always feel that, like, developers never need to apologise for delaying something. Because we're doing fuck all for them, but just going to buy the game. So, yeah, well, in ways,
what it's left, mate, I want to just run this by you, what it's left us with, okay? This is, I had a look at 2020, okay? Mm-hmm. January starts off, you know, I think okay. You got Yakuza Like a Dragon, which is Yakuza 7, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, Crystal Chronicles Remastered, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, the Switch version, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, I don't know what that is, Journey to the Savage Planet. So January's, you know, I would say that's a quiet month to ease you into, you know, being back at work in January and everyone's had their break. Then February comes, and we've got Ori and the Will of the Wisps, The Last of Us Part 2, and Iron Man VR. And then March, when we've got Final Fantasy VII Remake, Watch Dogs Legion, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Doom Eternal, and Vampire the Masquerade's Bloodlines 2. And, you know, then after that, we've April, we've, you know, we've just got Cyberpunk, and then May, Marvel's Avengers. 2020 is looking strong.
Yeah, it is. Oof. It is.
2020 is also the year of the PlayStation 5, Adam.
No. This is an interesting one. In ways where, first off, how did you feel about the announcement? I thought it was so random.
I am not a fan of... I'm not a fan of outlets having exclusives in this way. Doesn't work for me. Wired is who they did it with before, so they have obviously got some long-term agreement with Wired to announce details, you know, as and when they are willing to. We kind of figured it was 2020 anyway, where, you know, they've not mentioned it again, so it kind of had to be holiday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just there's another story during the rounds at the moment that there's talk of a lot of redundancies at Sony, like, you know, that aren't in America. And it's, I don't want to get into too much because we do see a little bit behind the curtain. Like, I know that there was someone at Sony who we worked with that just left Sony, but we never really asked why. And that person had been there a long time, and the person that we work with at Sony now, we've known for a long time too, and it did make me worried, because I will say that Sony are actually their PR, who we deal with, are very good at their job, we have a good relationship with Sony, and, you know, like, I don't know what's going on here. I hope they're not doing what I think they're doing, which is that Sony of America are taking over everything and we run the show, because that usually means that Europe suffers.
Yeah.
Microsoft kind of already do that. They don't have a huge European, or certainly not UK, sort of presence when it comes to the media. They're very US centric. Nintendo are the best because they have departments, you know, like their European location, I think it's Germany is their central, but then there is Nintendo of America, Japan and Europe, and that's all sort of not separate, but kind of separate. I'd worry for us as media if Sony does do this, and I would worry for the people that I've met at Sony and I know who are lovely people who do a really good job, actually. Mm-hmm. But apparently they didn't even, like, the story is that they didn't even know about this Wired
thing. Oh, whoa. I did not read that.
And I suppose, why would they, if it's a US media people, you know, talking to the US PR, Jim Ryan's from America, I think. He's not Canadian, is he? I think he's American. I don't know. I find it to be a strange situation. They usually have these PlayStation experiences, but they seem to be going in the Nintendo Direct route.
I was like, why couldn't they have, like, on that day even said, oh, this evening we're going to have pretty much a presentation on the new console, the new PS5, and that's,
well, it's,
that.
It's also kind of not news. Like, did anyone for a second believe they weren't going to call it the PlayStation 5?
Well, that's it. Like, but I just think it's really, it's underwhelming.
Did anybody think they were going to take a console family that they've had the PlayStation Vita, the PlayStation Portable, the PlayStation VR? Did they really think someone honestly thought Sony would ditch that brand name and maybe call it the PlayStation or the PlayStation Next or something? Did anybody really think they will have, as much as we all saw Xbox when they went from Xbox 360 to Xbox One? Everybody saw the reaction, the same way that Battlefield 1, the reaction those naming conventions got. I don't know how anyone really thought Sony were going to suddenly go, oh, the PlayStation 1. You know, it's...
Yeah, like, they're really not, because it doesn't even seem weird to say PS5, if I'm honest.
No.
Because we've just all been saying it for so long. Mm. And that's just that. Like, so they've obviously, like, announced a couple of features on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a... It's going to have a 4K drive.
Yeah, in but, it. Like...
But, like, you know. I know, like, it's a bit, like, you should have had this. But it's there. The thing that I'm really kind of interested in, they seem to have a lot of focus on the controller.
Yeah, and I'm worried about that because Microsoft kind of did some of this with the launch of the Xbox One and they never bothered with it afterwards. So one of the things I remember writing about Forza 6, mm-hmm. I want to say it was 6, the launch game, is that the vibration would change depending on your position of the triggers. And this isn't quite that. This is like they've said developers can program the resistance of the triggers so you can feel it, you know.
Pulling back a bow and arrow.
It's kind of like...
Whatever.
It's kind of like HD Rumble.
Well, this is the thing, but... It's,
that everyone takes the piss out of.
Yeah, and for me, I think it's quite interesting that they're focusing on this controller with these elements. Because, if I'm honest, Sony have always been trying to do something... Mm. Like different when you have this control in your hands, and I think it's like, yeah, this is fine, but you end up never fucking using it.
Absolutely, like that big button in the middle of the controller right now, that's the map button.
Exactly. It's very weird, it's very awkward. There's not many games that come up. Actually, what game came up recently and you actually had to use the touchpad?
Days Gone.
That's so
you could
it
swipe up, down, left or right to different menus. But like,
good,
I'm not
man.
Saying yeah, this won't one. Be good. I'm not saying this won't be good. I'm saying
not
it's a strange selling point because at the same time, I suppose everybody knows it's going to be super powerful. Like you say, 4K, ray tracing, all that sort of stuff. But again, that's kind of if devs program for it.
I mean, listen,
I'm excited. Of course I am. Of course I want to play the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox 2 or whatever they call it. Of course I do.
Yeah. They still didn't confirm as well if it's like definite, like backwards compatible.
They will have to do that.
Well, they'll have to definitely do PS4, but if I'm honest, if they're releasing a console of the power that they say it's going to be, you should just be able to put in any Sony fucking game.
Did you see the image doing the rounds of the headline, PlayStation 5 announced, and then there's a picture of Skyrim and Resident Evil 4 going, yes! Before we move on, I'm going to ask you a question. Do it in whichever currency you want. How much is the PS5 going to cost at retail, at launch? How much are you going to be able to buy one for?
Now, I think the thing is, do you think there'll be one model or two?
One.
Okay, one model then, yeah. I'd say...
I think they like the way the PS4 Pro sold, and if they can do a PS5 Pro, they will do that.
Yeah, I think we're going to be going €600.
What does that convert to? I need to convert that. €600 to... I just need to... wow, fuck. £538. I mean, they've done it before. I'm going to say
I think they will with what they're saying. I just think they will. Okay. I think a lot of people will expect it, you see, so they'll be okay to do it day one.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, people are quite happy to, you know, oh, look, the new iPhone, it's got another camera, 11,000.
Exactly.
Sorry, 1,100. Yeah, no probs. I'm going to say 499. I don't think they can breach that 5 mark because Microsoft won't. I think we'll be looking at the similar price. I mean, if I do Xbox One X price right now on Google, we've got 449. Well, 399 at Microsoft Store. That's not bad. I think
still
this
a lot, though, isn't
it? Oh, Christ, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, it's the Fallout bundle. No wonder. That's probably... it looks like they've knocked off £150 for that. I reckon... Actually, is that the Xbox One X? Hang on a sec. Yeah, it is. Robot White Edition. I forgot they did a White X. That's gorgeous. I like that. Anyway, I'm saying 499 and you're saying €600.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we go to this correspondence... What if you had to go for one launch title? What's it going to be?
PS4, GT, yep. Gran Turismo.
Do you think so?
Absolutely. Yep, 100%.
I'm going to be really bold in saying this, that I think we'll get Horizon 2. It's ridiculous, I know, but at the same time, is it ridiculous?
No, it's not, because you think when Horizon Zero Dawn came out. So yep. I'm going to use Google again on a podcast. Horizon Zero Dawn DLC release date. not review, fucking no one of them, release date was November the 7th, so 2 years ago. So it'll be 3 years by the time the PS5 comes out. Oof, could be.
Like, we've heard nothing.
February 2017, so it'd be 3.5 years from the original game's release.
Yeah, and if you think of Guerrilla's attachment with like the likes of Killzone launching and stuff with the
PS4. I'll tell you what, there's a stat for you. Horizon Zero Dawn is the 5th best-selling PlayStation 4 video game.
Wow.
10 million sold. That only games that's behind is God of War. There's no way one of them will be ready. The Last of Us Remastered, well, 2 will have been out, so we might get Last of Us 2 Remastered launch. Marvel Spider-Man, I think it's a bit too soon, having that they've only just bought them.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Uncharted 4, again, the only game, in fact, close to it, you got Gran Turismo Sport. And I could absolutely see a GTA, Gran Turismo, what would it be, 6? 7? And, yeah, I could see it. There you go, you heard it first.
Horizon Zero Dawn 2 and Neck 3.
You know what? Probably. listener correspondence. We didn't get to some of these last week, so we're going to get to them this week. Thomas at LlamaFluff42 wants to know, Adam, what's the daftest misunderstanding you had as a child? He said he used to think that radio ads, especially the terms and conditions, could only be done by really fast talkers. You know, they get to him.
It just made no fucking sense.
Yep.
It's not really like a misunderstanding. It's more like, it's more of a kind of like, am I misunderstanding this? But then at the same time, why am I seeing this? And that would be the time the Penelope pen was announced.
The what pen?
The Penelope pen.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know if you remember that, but you know those, like, when you're watching TV and those fucking ads come on where they're like, buy this and get 40,000 other pieces of item to use on it and all these things. It's like, ring up now and we'll throw in another one for absolutely free. It was one of those kind of ones. And it was the Penelope pen. And the thing was, it was just a fucking pen, but it was being advertised as stainless steel, unbelievable writing pen. And not only could you write with it, but you could also stab, like, tin cans with it.
Yeah.
Right. Do you remember this at all?
Yeah, I remember them now. I've looked them up.
And I can't, for the life of me, I just did not understand why do I need this? Why would you need a pen to jab into, like, tin cans? And
right.
Am I misunderstanding something there? Like, do you, when you have a pen, do you just all of a sudden go, right, hand me the can of beans there, boom?
No, definitely exactly. Don't do that.
So, yes. That's just the first thing that kind of comes into my head. What about you?
I can't think of one. I genuinely can't think of a strange misunderstanding.
It's a hard one.
I genuinely can't. So we're going to have to move on because I can't just sit here going, I can't. So we'll go to another question from Thomas. If you were the star of a human version of Untitled Goose Game with a remit to frustrate and annoy those around you, what would you get up to? He says he'd put his bin out on the wrong night and laugh maniacally as the whole street followed his lead. Chaos.
I thought about this and then, to be honest, nothing tops a thing that someone already did. And that is, there's a video that goes around of, like, just people standing waiting for a bus or just, like, walking down the street or something. And some absolute bollocks from behind runs up with, like, a black bin liner and just literally throws it over their head and pulls it the whole way down and just runs away. And they're left, like, in complete panic, ripping off the bag. And sometimes they'll just chase after the guy. And, like, it's asshole-ish, and I'd be raging if someone did it to me, but it's so funny to watch. And if that game existed, then that'd be brilliant. There's also the hilarious game of, it's like on PC, you must type in a website or some link, and it just immediately starts this game of this, like, guy standing at a bus stop, and you must fart sneakily.
Right.
Without getting caught, you know, as soon as you, like, and that's just, like, great as well, but that's kind of not really acting like a goose, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it's mainly about just being a bit of a prick, and I think the bin liner thing is kind of where I'd be at.
I think I'd just take people's car keys off them so they couldn't drive like assholes. Because so many people speed and cut corners, forget their indicators, because your indicators are so fucking far away from that steering wheel after all. It's difficult to reach, isn't it? I think I'd just take keys away from people so they couldn't drive anymore.
Speaking of, I actually do agree with that, because it was only like last week. There's a huge roundabout in my town or whatever, and I was walking up the street, and this old man was completely driving the opposite way around the roundabout, and it was carnage. Like, he wasn't stopping, and everyone was just kind of moving out of the way for him. It was so. I agree with your one.
That sounds like those old jokes, doesn't it? Like, oh, you know, how did that car end up crashed at the roundabout? Because someone said, oh, go straight on at the roundabout, and they just drove over it because, take the exit on the right, and, you know, they just kept going round for hours and hours and hours because there was no right turn, you know. Thomas also wants to know, what game title jars or grates on you the most? He says he's never come to terms with Bravely Default. Mine's going to be an obvious one. Some of those Final Fantasy names. Like Duodecima, you know, like whatever. They're just, you know, the ones with like colons and...
Yeah, I know.
Underbirth, another one's Underbirth, XE, what are they called? You know, Under Night in Birth, XE, LATE, then it's got like a open bracket CL-R, like...
Yeah. They're all pains in the ass, yeah. Those ones, like, I don't hate them all, because I do enjoy, like... It's kind of adventure sound to those titles, but that one you just mentioned, yeah, that can fuck right off. Of recent, and it's not a name like anything like what you just said.
Yeah,
but I don't really get on with Astral Chain.
See, I'm thinking more along the lines of like long names, like Dragon Quest XI. So it's Dragon Quest XI S Echoes of the Elusive Age Definitive Edition. It's like, come on, and you know, but not just. I don't like it when game names are stylized and that's the way you're supposed to write them. So do you remember when Grid was capital G, capital R, lowercase I, capital D? Or like Wipeout. So is that Wipe with the capital W, then Out with the capital O, but one word? You know, the Tom Clancy games, it bugs the life out of me that they still... You know, they've kind of stopped now. People kind of don't call it that anymore. It's just Ghost Recon Breakpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is it Tom Clancy's Watch Dogs? I don't even know, you know? I
Oh, no way.
Is it? I don't know. What sight, sound, or smell instantly transports you back to your childhood, Adam?
This is interesting. It's not in any way groundbreaking, the answer, but only yesterday I was in work and one of my work colleagues was drinking a tea, and I looked at it and I went, what the hell is that? And I picked it up and I just smelt it. And it smelt identical to those apple drops. Do you know those, like, they look like marbles almost, but they're just apple drops.
Okay, yeah.
And I used to eat them constantly when I was small. Like, all the time, apple drops. Like, they were just always on the go for me. And I haven't in years gone near them. So that was just a real, like, sniff and just boom, right back to then.
Okay, mine would be, do you know certain pubs still smell quite sort of hoppy and, you know, that kind of...
Oh, yeah.
That just takes me back to being a kid in a pub. And
just stale cigarettes and stuff.
Not so much that. just like that.
Did you ever go to the pub with those situations? Like...
Yeah, I've been to pubs like that, but that doesn't take me back to my childhood. Like the hop smell.
You weren't smoking major when you were 8?
13 I was smoking. that smell really takes me straight back to being a kid and like the majesty of a pub where you could barely see over the you know the bar and like everyone's drinking and everyone looks a bit frightening because they've all got, like you say, cigarettes and alcohol. Yeah. Just takes me back, and it's a fond smell. I wouldn't say quite childhood, but sometimes, you know, when, I mean, people don't do it now, but then when someone lights a cigarette in a car,
mm-hmm.
it's got a certain smell to it when it's in a car. I don't know why, and that always throws me back as well. Last one for this week. Lyle Carr asks, what is the most obscure or unknown game that you love? He says his example is he likes the oddness that is the PlayStation 2's Mr. Mosquito.
Mr. Mosquito?
Mine would be kind of a specific example. Parasite Eve, before it came out over here, I imported on the PlayStation from America. And I was always decently ahead of the curve with that kind of stuff. Like, I got Resident Evil when it was called Biohazard, you know, that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. and Tekken, like, you know. But for me, I think Parasite Eve, and I would say that's not a big series now for sure, But back then, even then, nobody seemed to know about it. And I loved that first Parasite Eve.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I think for me, it's probably MDK.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember playing that in PC a lot. Murder, Death, Kill, which is just
that looked amazing at the time.
Yeah, it looked amazing. It was weird. Like, you didn't really know what you were kind of doing and stuff. Yeah. That was one. And then, like, one that wasn't... It's not really as obscure, but I do remember playing a lot of Dungeon Keeper.
Okay.
That was another weird one. But yeah, those kind of ones. There's probably way more as well. There's like, when you think back to games... I was only having this conversation the other night, but when you think back to certain games, when you were young, you played everything.
But, like, I mean, even more recent... Well, more like Asura's Wrath. Would you count that?
Yeah.
Or like Lost Odyssey on Xbox 360. That's one of my favourite RPGs, but...
Is that good?
Oh, is it good? Do you like Final Fantasy VII? Because it's that. Yeah. It's that. It is that.
Is it really? I've always... absolutely that. Like, this has just become a very kind of one-on-one personal conversation now all of a sudden, but like... I've been always intrigued by that game.
I mean, it's difficult because there's loads of games. I wouldn't say they're obscure, but like Condemned, that game.
Mm.
Like, all right, it got a sequel, but, you know, like Viva Pinata, but that's not unknown. You know, yeah. These are games I'd love to come back somehow, but, you know.
Yeah, like, where would you stand with Fear Effect? Now, I know the last one that came out, I think, last year was.
I liked it at the time. I liked it at the time. I don't know that they hold up really well. What was the name of that EA game? It was on Wii, where it was like a puzzle game. Oh, and it was really... It was... Oh, God, what was it called? I might have to look it up. EA... So EA Wii puzzle game. And it had some like big name attached to it. Boom Blocks. Do you remember that?
Boom Blocks. I remember Boom Blocks. Let me get that cover up.
It was a fantastic game.
What was it? Oh, I remember. Look at that. Bastarding monkey and sheep.
That was really well known for some... There was someone who worked on it.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
I actually just saw that. Yeah. A Steven Spielberg game.
So, I don't know that that's unknown. I mean, again...
You wouldn't hear much about it.
No. Do you remember, like, Ubisoft's The Club? I really liked that game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, I don't know that it's unknown, but Mad World?
Mad World, yeah. See, there's a couple of things that... Like, Jesus, there was Army of Two, but they were poo.
They were, I mean, I remember a game we covered, I never got round to playing it, but everyone raved about it at the time. It was an Xbox 360 and PS3 game called El Shaddai.
I remember it kind of had, Ascension, the cover was like...
It was very ethereal.
It was very colourful.
Yeah.
Ocean-y kind of looking.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what about The World Ends With You?
Yeah, that was great. Should definitely
They've done that. Since so, I mean, yeah, again, I'm really reaching now, but Ghost Trick, great game. I mean, you tell us yours in the comment below, whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on, you can't comment on Spotify, but Twitter you can @GodIsAGeek. Tell us which of your games you think you love, but they're very obscure, and do send us more questions @GodIsAGeek on Twitter, Facebook.com/GodIsAGeek, YouTube.com/GodIsAGeek, any of those places, or @AdamZokes or @GBSF. You can send us questions directly, it's fine, or email them podcast@GodIsAGeek.com. And if you did enjoy this podcast, normally there's 3 or 4 voices on here, but this week it's just the 2 of us. You still get it early if you go to patreon.com/GodIsAGeek and drop $1 a month to get early access, usually 3 to 4 days before anyone else hears it. Last week was a bit later because of embargoes, and we've held off on talking about some games this week to avoid doing that too regularly for our Patreons. So there's that. Adam, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, man.
And to everyone else, thank you for listening, and we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.